Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Your immeasurable love, we can truly quantify. You're making all things beautiful, God, in your season. Making all life and goodwill come towards us. You cherish us, God of glory, even our humble, feeble state. You made your love so real to us that you call us to yourself. The Lord, we might become your sons and your daughters. Your such immeasurable love, God, we can quantify. That you have chosen us to become your dwelling place. We exhort you, God, because in that state, God, you're working out your perfect will in our life. And so your word will declare that the tabernacle of God is with men. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the sacrifices you made. Aya. We thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, for the breath of light that you become unto us. That wherever we find ourselves, Lord, you keep showing forth your strong hand in paving ways, Holy Spirit of God, that we should be able to receive that which belongs to us as inheritance in our Father's house. We thank you, Father. We exalt your glorious name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for wisdom and insight and for revelations that you've ordained, Lord Jesus, for our own good, for our purpose, so that, Lord, we may grow strong in the faith as calf of the stall. We appreciate you. Thank you, precious Father. For in Jesus' name we worship. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's... Are we ready? Once again, let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you. Want to exalt your name once again at this hour. We come before you even now to receive instructions as we sit at your feet. Grant us wisdom. Grant us revelation. And cause your name, O Lord, to be glorified as we grow up in you to your measure and the stature of your holy nature. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, so once again, we continue with a deliberation on sowing and reaping, the law of sowing and reaping. This part number 3, I'm sure. Last week, as much as possible, I tried to explain to us the place of that which Paul was explaining in relation to 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 1. I tried to explain extensively that thou was not in any way dealing with church offering. Hallelujah. He wasn't talking about church offering. I told you he was talking about collection for the saints that were in Jerusalem because of the famine that was upon the land. They were more or less like relief materials. Hallelujah. And so, today I'm going to be dealing with the issue of church offerings. Having known that what Paul was writing about was not church offering, but support system for those who were suffering because of famine that was upon the land. Again, we look at our text. Genesis 8, 21, 22. After Noah offered the sacrifice after the flood, Bible says, the Lord smelled a sweet savor Genesis 8:21. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. And the next verse, which is most important to us, why the earth remained, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Amen. This is a law. A law that you can't remove. A law that you cannot go against. It's a principle. It's either you're going to benefit from it or you lose out. God has set up this law to assist us as humans on the face of the earth. Even though I'm dealing with the financial aspect now, I shall progress to the point where it is. Remember, Jesus said that the measure by which you judge others, by two measure you shall be judged. It is the same law, sowing and reaping. Have you read in your Bible? Say, judge not, because the measure with which you judge other people, that's the measure by which you shall be judged. It's a law of sowing and reaping. So there are several aspects I'm going to be dealing with when it comes to this, so that you don't pull your mind, oh come on pastor, you're talking about money. It's not just all about money. I'm talking about the law that you can sow and reap anytime. Anytime. Praise God. Even if you violate the simple principle of God's word, you reap. It's a sowing. Hallelujah. Okay. And then I try to make you see from 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Hallelujah. And I try to make you understand that what Paul was saying here is directly connected to that Genesis we just read. And here he's applying the same principle for those who need to be supported. By implication, you need to sow to support those who are in need. And in that context, if you sow sparingly in trying to support other people, you will also reap sparingly. The same law of Genesis chapter 8 that's applying. And remember, he's applying this to collect relief materials for the saints that are in Jerusalem because of the famine that was in the land, hunger that was in the land. And he's telling the church here, listen, you got to sow. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You don't mess with God. I'll make you see that. When the Bible says, God is not mocked, understand it. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Have you read that? Galatians 6. Is that okay? We're going to come to that, so that you can understand how that God has so established this law, and it's not going to go out of it for your sake. No matter what you believe, no matter what you think, no matter how much of a New Testament you think you are. And I told you, this thing has nothing to do with church offering. This is collection for the saints that were going through terrible times. Hallelujah. Are we still here? All right. So, where am I now? there's this thing I will need you to see. Go with me to the book of... let me look at this. Again, this is Paul still talking. I think I want to lay this out for you meanwhile, but it's talking about ministers. Okay, so I move on very quickly. Yeah, we'll find, like I said, Paul teaching those we're supposed to minister in the gospel. So let's just look at it. Galatians chapter 6. a little bit. Galatians 6, look at verse number 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to pick these things, how they work. Look at the next verse. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, here he's talking about those who preach the gospel. And he's saying, okay, look at the next verse, verse number 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap what? Life eternal. But looking at the whole context, he's talking about how to minister to those who teach you the word of God. And he's saying here, those who labor to teach you the word of God, they also deserve to be ministered to. God is not mocked. You can't deceive him. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I may mention of this to you the last time. Some of the things that you sow outside of being to the ministers here, a smile on your face, joy radiating from you. Hallelujah. Creating an atmosphere that makes people to be happy. If I may give you a simple illustration, if you are in a family, the husband or the wife, and one of you put up a big face of anger, what happened to the entire family? The atmosphere changes. Joy disappears. Love disappears. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. Now, the point is this. You exhibited or exuded anger. You are also going to reap the effect of your anger because the whole atmosphere becomes moody. You too will lose your joy. You too will lose your peace. It's whatsoever a man soweth, not just money. Hallelujah. I feel I have to make that observation for you to understand. That is critical, you know this. And then for you to be able to look it up. That it is whatever you sow that you reap. So if you want peace, what do? You sow peace. If you want joy, what will you do? You sow joy. If you want love, what do? You show love. It's whatever you sow that you reap. Hallelujah. We have not seen it this way, and we don't understand it from that perspective. But I want you to know the word, because like I said to you some other time, there is no way you sow a seed of corn and begin to reap cassava at the end of the day. Am I correct? Even the farmers understand this simple principle. If you want to harvest cassava, what are you going to plant? You plant cassava. If you want to harvest pawpaw, what will you plant? The seed of pawpaw. You can't plant pawpaw and expect to harvest mango. It's whatever you sow. Every attitude you put up is what you get back from people. See, don't go telling me people don't love me. The question is, do you love people? Amen? Yes, I know naturally there are people that can hate you. Fine, there's no problem about that. But will that change your disposition? No. Because it is, if you understand this principle, you can hold anybody at heart. In form of anger, in form of hatred, whatever. You can. Because it is what you are pushing out that comes back to you. It's a circle. How much love do you show people? How much joy do you give to people? Praise God. People don't support me. How much support do you give to people? It's whatever a man throw it. So, if you want money, what do? You sow money. Hallelujah. You want peace, what will you do? You sow peace. You want happiness, make people happy. Amen. Okay, so let me look at it now from the perspective of Jesus' ministry in relation to. I'll still make you see that. You see, God wanted souls for glory. He wanted souls in the world. What did he do? He sowed a soul. Hallelujah. I don't know if you get that. He wanted human beings to come back to him. He wanted righteous people to come back to him. What did he do? He took his only righteous son and saw him on the earth. And what is next thing that's happening now? He's harvesting the whole world. It's what he sow. He didn't come sow an animal to redeem the world. For him to redeem the world, he sowed a human being. Why? Because the person and the what he need to harvest from the world where we are human beings is whatever you sow. Why did you think he have to? He didn't allow all the animal sacrifice to continue. No, he will be harvesting animals. But that's not what he wanted. He wanted human beings. He wanted souls. So what did he do? He sowed souls into the world. Now he's harvesting. He's reaping. It's whatever a man soweth, that shall he also do what? Reap. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I will make you see one of the reasons why we find it difficult to sow. You know, and I think Tega was more or less mentioning that. So let me show you something. In the book of Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verse number 1. Reading from verse number 1. Talking about church offering now, which is different from what Paul was writing in the book of Corinthians. The Bible says, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gift into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in did her 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast it unto the offerings of God. That's what I want you to know there. But she of a penury has cast in all the living that she had. What I want you to pick there is the word offerings of God. Did you get this? This is church offering. Different from what you read in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Now, can you imagine? To tell you that God is interested, Jesus stood there watching the people putting in the offering and he was seeing how much they were putting in. When you say don't talk about money, you should have been able to instruct Jesus not to look at the offering box. Go tell him, why did you have to go and look at the offering box? Hallelujah. I'm going to make you see why he has to go there. But as we were putting in the offering, he stood there and was watching to see what everybody was putting in. He saw what everybody was putting in. And you could see this poor woman putting the last one, that is God. And he called it the offerings of the Lord. That's what I want you to see. The offering of God. Are you seeing that? The offerings of God. Not charity offering. The offerings of God. That is your church offering. Your regular offering that you give when you come to church. This is not 1 Corinthians. People need to get it right. Hallelujah. Bible says, for all that they have abundance cast in the offerings of God, but she of a penury. Oh, hallelujah. You know what he said? What is using this word? The abundance casting unto the offerings of God. He's saying the rich people, it is a leftover that they brought. But the poor woman brought all that she had. And so Jesus is trying to tell him something. You don't have to give leftovers to him when you come giving offering. Are you following what I'm saying? The offering that those people got is from their abundance. That is the surplus, the leftovers is what it brought. Superfluity, whatever it is. The one they can spare. What the problem may not even need. Hallelujah. But you can imagine how they treated God in the offering. You think God is not concerned in the way you go offer unto God? Yeah, it is what they don't need. The leftover, the surplus is what it brought. The thing they can spare is what it brought. And Jesus rebuked them to that. Hallelujah. So he spoke of the woman out of her penury, out of her deficiency. You know, what was less than what was wanted. You know, it doesn't have anything anymore. This is all she had. So the primary thing is your heart. Placing God first. Considering God. Knowing that the offering you're offering, whatever you're putting in your offering box, it's not a chip off the blocks. Put God first. Put him. Give him the priority that he deserves. That's the thing about seek him for the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. All of that he shall be added. Hallelujah. So this woman brought everything. You can call it all her living. All that she had. Her whole sustenance, everything that was supposed to sustain her, was what she brought. Are you there with me? But the other people, what did they bring in? The leftover, the spare, what they can spare. So you check your account, you make all your calculations, and sometimes after counting, maybe you have 20,055 naira. Okay, 55 naira, that's what go for the offer. I don't know if you're getting this. The leftovers, the things that you can spare, the things you feel is more important to you. That's not how to treat God. So I want you to know the word offerings of who? Of God. So when you come in here dropping your offering, know that it is to God you're offering it, not to man. Hallelujah. So this is basically what in the Old Testament is called temple offering. And they are needed for the services of Christ, both within and outside of the local assembly. The temple offering, which is the church offering, is meant for the services of the household of faith. Praise God. So here Jesus was looking down and saw everything. The standard of commended a woman here has to do it. Don't cast leftovers onto church offering. It's not needed. What you think is of no value to you shouldn't be of value to God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are getting this. What you think is of no value to you shouldn't be of value to God. Don't consider it to be of any value to God. If you think 50 naira is no value to you, 100 naira is no value to you, don't give it to God. Give God the best. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? Don't choose low offerings when you are offering to God. Don't choose low offerings. If God is sustaining you, let your offering start from 500. Don't put 100. Don't put if God is good to you, don't let your offering go below 500. No. I don't have to tell you what I put in my offering. Hallelujah. Why you put in 50 naira? You know, I'm not looking of the children, but you as our daughter, you got business. You got things you are doing, and you put in offering, you put in 100 naira, you put in. What can you buy with 100 naira today? And that's what you give to God. To do what? Somebody say, God is not concerned about money. Why did Jesus go there and start watching what was going on? If he's not concerned. You ask Jesus, Jesus, why did you have to come and look at the offering and put it? Why? Ask him. He will answer you. Since you think God is not concerned about money, I don't know if you're getting what I'm talking about. I mean, think about that. When you carry the basket and I start looking at you, you say, what is pastor doing? You should have asked Jesus the question, why are you looking at the offering? You want to see what I'm putting inside? Why? And he will answer you. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Mm-hmm. So, understand another principle. Poverty is not a condition not to give quality offering to God. Because even in Macedonia church, out of their deep poverty, they gave. How many of you remember that? 2 Corinthians 8 verse number 1 and 2 tells you that the Macedonia church, out of their deep poverty. So don't tell me you're too poor, that's why you don't give to God. You're too poor, that's why you can't give quality offering to God. No. Scripture is keeping no excuse for that. Praise God. You should be happy. I will talk on that. You should be happy when you're giving offering. You're sowing. Say, those are sows in tears, they shall reap in joy. You say, sowing and reaping. They that have come sowing in tears, what happened? They are going to reap in joy. Don't play with your offering. Your offering, there are things that it brings back to you. Your giving, there are things that it brings back to you. Remember the other time, I told you, it will produce the fruit of righteousness. How many of you remember that? Praise God. So Jesus called it the offering of God. This then is what I'm calling the church offering. Two things are primary as far as offering the church is concerned. It's tithe and offering. Let's take Matthew 23 verse 23. A simpler translation, please. Matthew 23 verse 23. Very simple translation. Jesus was speaking. And this is what he says. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, your mint, your din, your cumin. That's your tithe now. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and what? Faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. What is the former? Your tenth. Practice. Hallelujah. Did you get that? You should have practiced the latter, which is what? Justice, mercy, and what? Faithfulness. Without neglecting the former. What's the former? Your tithe. So don't tell me I'm teaching justice. Oh yes, I'm teaching faithfulness. Oh yes, I'm teaching, what's the next thing he asks you to teach there? I'm showing mercy to people. Oh yeah, you should do all this, but don't neglect your tithe. That is why I told you, when he said in Malachi, I say you've left, bring to the storehouse. What did he ask you to bring? Your tithe and offering. These two things go together. These are the things that are meant for the sustenance, for the building of the house of God. Somebody say, the pastor collects all the tithe. I told you here in this house, in the New Testament principle, if the tithe that is coming to the church is more than the offering, you put yourself on salary and release the rest for the building and the work of the church. That's the way it is. You don't expect a child as a pastor, the tithe coming to your church is about 1 million and the offering in the church is 300 and then you're carrying the million home. No! That is not New Testament pattern of tithe. If the tithe is more than the offering, put yourself on salary, release remaining thing to the church for the work of the ministry. That's where tithe is. Praise God. Look at the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 31 verse number 4. 2 Chronicles 31 verse number 4. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Bible says, moreover, no, King James, just go to King James. Moreover, he commanded the people, this is Hezekiah, that dwell in Jerusalem, to give the portion of the priests and the Levite, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Praise God. This is the access of taking care of your ministry, on the ministers, which you find in Galatians chapter 6. That they might be encouraged. That's the key word. When your pastors are not taken care of, when your teachers are not taken care of, somebody say, oh, come on. Am I the one I call them? God, I call them. You're joking. Who is he teaching? Muzzle not the ox that treaded out the corn. 1 Corinthians 9. Don't tie the mouth of the ox that is treading out the corn. I'm giving you corn. I'm giving you seed. So don't tie my mouth. I'll labor all day. All night. Hallelujah. The minister labor all day, all night. This is the only person that anybody can call at any time. Even doctors, except those who are resident doctors, you can't reach them. But for the pastor, the phone is on 24 hours. A is calling, B is calling, C is calling. He's the only man that have no time to rest except he creates time for himself. I don't know how far that is true, but I'm made to understand 1 hour of a pastor's preaching. I'm not talking of those jumping around. 1 hour of true preaching and teaching is equivalent to 13 hours of manual labor. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy that those who labor in the word and doctrine, they deserve what? Double honor. Not just honor, double. That they might be encouraged. Hallelujah. People don't see this. They think the pastoral work is one of the, oh, they are lazy now because they don't have anything to do. You know what it means to tax your brain? Taxing your brain, studying, reading. Yesterday, my wife walked into my room. I was on the computer preparing. I went to the bathroom. I came out. The Lord spoke to me in the bathroom. I came back, opened my computer again this morning to process what I'm sharing with you now. I don't have time. So, as the guy said, bring all of this in to encourage what? The Levites. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruit of corn, wine, oil, and honey, and all of the increase of the field, and the tithes of all the things brought there in abundance. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the city of Judah, they also brought in the tithes of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things, which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by a heap. This is called heap offering. Glory to God. Time is coming. We're going to process heap offering here. Not basket, heap offering. You put it on the floor. Amen. Praise God. Are you listening to this? Verse number 12. And brought in the offerings and the tithes. Did you get that? Offerings and tithes, and dedicated things faithfully, over which the Cononel, the Levite, was ruler, and Shimei, his brother, was the next. Praise God. I read this to show you what they brought. Tithes and offering. And Jesus said, you must do the two. Hallelujah. Remember, I'm talking about sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said this for those who profess to be, hey, I'm a New Testament believer. I don't need no tithe. Okay, I want to show you a simple scripture. Matthew chapter 5 verse number 20. You can take from any translation you want. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you certainly not enter where? The kingdom of heaven. You will not enter except your righteousness supersede, exceed, go beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, I have no problem. When you say, oh, I'm a giver, I have no problem. Jesus is giving us a simple standard to measure your giving. If the scribes and the Pharisees, their righteousness basically is that of tithing. Remember what we read in Matthew 23:23? Remember that? If the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees is based basically on tithing, largely, Jesus is saying, for you to enter into the kingdom, your own righteousness must exceed their what? Their righteousness. So what is the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? 10%. What should be your own righteousness now? That's the problem. So tell me how many Christians are giving 20%. Tell me how many Christians are giving 30 or 40%. Just show me. You're struggling with 10%. And Jesus is saying, exceed. Raise it up. Raise the bar. So that tells you that tithing is just a preliminary stage of giving principle when it comes to the kingdom of God. Are you supporting what I'm saying now? Except your righteousness to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Somebody said, oh, our righteousness is not money. What was Jesus dealing with here? All right. Yes, he is our righteousness. I agree with that. What was the righteousness of the Pharisees before you twist it? You give tithe, means and every coming. That's what he said, Matthew 23:23. So that was the basis of their righteousness. And Jesus said, you who is in the kingdom of God, your righteousness should exceed the what? The righteousness. That means if you claim to be a giver, may your giving exceed the tithes of the scribes and Pharisees. So I'm a very good person. I'm making it easy for you that you can start with the Pharisees' principle. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Now, I know it's difficult for you to break into the New Testament principle. So start with the Pharisee principle. Do your tithe. You can improve on that. Amen? The Lord knows your heart. You understand that? He knows your heart. So start from there. And stop arguing. Just start from there. Don't claim any kind of righteousness. Jesus is telling you straightforward here. You can't claim to be a righteous man of the kingdom when you can't do beyond what the scribes and the Pharisees have been doing. You can't. Praise God. You must double everything that you are doing if you think I am a giver. Double your giving. Is that okay? Praise God now. Are you there with me? All right. So, I'm trying to make you understand. In building the church, financially, what is mostly needed is your tithe and what? Your offering. This is not donations. This is not giving. I mean, no. Not all of those things beyond that. But in terms of church offering, remember where I'm standing from? Is tithe and what? And offerings. Praise the living God. All right. I'm going to show you something now. Look with me in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 19. Remember Jesus made a statement that men worship him with lips. I mean, worship him with their lips, but their heart is far away from him. How many of you have read that in the Bible? I'll show you something now. Matthew chapter number, what did I say? 6 verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. What do thieves steal from you? Most times, not just your gold alone, but moth, your money. The first thing they ask for is what? Your money. Where's your money? It is when they get your money before they start asking for your wristwatches, your gold, and even all those things they are gathering, they're also going to sell them to convert them to what? To money. So what do thieves steal from you? Money. Are you with me? Verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure. What treasure are you talking about now? Where your wealth is. Where your resources is. You know, you see people sometimes, we don't do Thanksgiving. Oh, praise God. God is so good to me. God is good to me. So, what is it supposed to mean? Oh, come on. I bid for a contract whereby five, and by the grace of God, with your prayers, Pastor, I got a contract. I got a contract. Now, it's not going to tell you how much the contract was. I got a contract. So, help me praise the Lord. Help me praise the Lord with empty hands. Hallelujah. With all the contract you got, with all the money you've made already, help me praise the Lord. You know why you're praising God? You're thinking of how many millions that are going to be where in your bank account. But not when it comes to church. Let me show you what Jesus said. That's where your treasure is. You're thinking about your words. Go to, with me now to Matthew 15 verse number 5. Hallelujah. Am I helping anybody with this? Matthew 15 verse number 5. But they say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou might be profited by me. Verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. The first thing here Jesus is saying is, your mother and your father deserves honor. Are you there with me? Get the first thing here. They deserve honor. What kind of honor? Thank you, ma. Thank you, father. Is that the honor they're looking for here? Honor the Lord with thy substance. How many of you read that? Proverbs 9, 3, verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Substance have nothing to do with buying down. You can buy it down for me several times, but that is not honor. Honor goes beyond that. There's place for respect. But when you want to honor someone, who is your father and your mother, it is substance that is needed. That is where Jesus is saying here, what will have gone to your parents, you said, is become a gift. So you've broken the commandment. You can find that in Ephesians 6. Honor your father and your mother, that may be well with you, that you may live long where? On the face of the earth. So, what is the principle of longevity? It's not prayer, it's honor. Honor your father and your mother. Can you imagine what Isaac had to do to Ishmael? Go get me a savour of meat for me to eat, and then my soul will do what? Will bless you. Give you life, give you blessing, give you days. That's honor. So, honor is not just, daddy. There's nothing wrong with that. For me, that's respect. But when you talk about honor, something is going to leave your wallet. That's what people don't like to hear. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? There's a man, a bishop I honor in this town. I don't go to his house. I've not been to his house for only about 6 years, if not more. I've never been, more than that, I've never been to his house. But I honor him. Every month, I honor him. I looked at his life. I looked at the days I lived under the ministry. When I came to town, he was among the people that were sharing keys about the kingdom of God. I honor that man for his age, still in the ministry. But I'm not going to his house to bow down, to, you know, lie down on the floor. No. You only call me because anytime I honor him like that, I screenshot to the secretary. The secretary informed him, and then he calls me on the phone and be praying. Be praying for me. Why? I believe in the principle of honoring the fathers. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? Look at verse number 7. Ye hypocrites, where did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, that's Isaiah 29 verse 13, these people draw nigh unto me with what? Their mouth, and honored me with their lips, but their heart is far away from where? From me. Why is your heart far away? Where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. So what do you think Jesus said? They honor me with their lips. Oh, praise Jesus, wonderful man. Oh, the great healer. No prophet like you. Honor. So, but their heart is far away from me. Where is your heart? Your heart is in their wallet. But they honor me with their lips. Are you seeing this? So, here Jesus rebuking us for the kind of life that we're living. And money is more precious for us and to us as compared to the life Jesus is giving to us and the life he has made available to us. So we don't even know how to honor him with our substance. When they came and clap hand or praise him and shout, sing all his songs. Jesus said, okay, yes, I'm receiving all of that. But it's coming from your lips, not from your heart. Praise God. That is what I think we can want to take, you know, we can listen to. Or is like, oh, I thank you for the praises. Yes, the Lord inhabit the prayer of his people. Oh, come on, but I thank God for what this young man taught this morning. It's not enough to clap hands. It's not enough to thank. It's not enough. If you understand where thanksgiving is not just ordinary, it's to have to be sacrificial thanksgiving. You see the things he brings back to you. Hallelujah. So here Jesus said, okay, thank you for what you're doing. Good choir. I love you. Amen. You're doing all of the wonderful things. You're singing my praises. Oh, yes. You honor me. You even bow down. Like the Catholic, even bow down to my mother Mary, in quote. I said, that's good honor. But listen, you're just honoring me with what? Your lips. But your heart is far away from me. Your heart is far away from me. Can we change our heart this morning and start thinking again about this principle of sowing and reaping? So when you honor God with your substance, what do you think happened? Life is released to you. Provisions is released to you. Abundance is made available to you because you're honoring him. When your father prays for you, I bet you know what it means. Amen. And God is saying, you just honor me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me. For where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. Don't let that be our portion. Hallelujah. Don't let that be our portion. Don't think, oh, come on, anything I give out, oh, it can't come back to me anymore. No, don't think that way. I'm going to show you what happens. That's the kind of mindset that we have. If I remove this 1,000 as offering, how do I get it back? No. My account shall be short of 1,000 naira or $1,000. If I remove this, what happened? No. You can't think that way. You're thinking like the young ruler. Let me show you. Matthew 19, verse 16. The young rich ruler. This is the attitude of the young rich ruler, which you must not imbibe. Matthew 19 verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I want you to see how what we are discussing is connected to what? To eternal life. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, watch this. Why do you call me good? Only one is good, and that is God. By implication, you are agreeing that I am God. For only God is good. So if you call me good, then you are equally saying, I am who? I am God. Remember, they never even believe in him, not the thought of he being God. So he was always using circumcision to prove to them that he is the true God. Did you get this now? Hallelujah. Verse 18. He said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not be a false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Here he comes again. Praise God. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. I've always said it before. This is one of the most difficult principles to observe. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself. How is that possible? How many of you have gone to the market one day and you're thinking of what to buy for your neighbor without first thinking of what to buy for yourself? Amen. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's one of the strongest commandments and difficult one to keep. I mean, how many of you left your home with your wallet and you're going to the market and you're remembering that you want to buy something for a sister? How many of you here can practice that? Anytime you're going to the market, it's for yourself. Am I correct? Well, Jesus is saying that that's not the right rule. The right way to live is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love yourself so much, whatever thing you are supposed to do for yourself, do it for your neighbor. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? All right. We move on now. Verse 20. The young man said unto him, remember, this guy is asking for eternal life. He's looking for what to do to enter into eternal life. Is that okay? The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. Upward like I yet. What else do you want me to do? I'll be doing all of these things. I love my father. I love my neighbor. I honor them. I mean, I do all of those things. So what else? So, and Jesus said unto him, if thou be perfect, matured, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Go sell. Whew. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great world possessions. Can you see it now? The guy had got broken. Hey, sell my possessions, give them to the poor. Oh, come on. You are reducing my account. That's not possible, sir. I'll leave you with your eternal life. I'm going away. I don't need it anymore. I want to keep my possessions. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I want to keep my money. I'm not giving it to anybody. Take your eternal life. Bye-bye. You see what I mean? This is what money does to us. It makes us reject eternal life. It makes us reject Jesus Christ. It makes us hate the things of God. Money is really a god. That's why I call God of Mammon. You can't serve Mammon and God. Look at that. Jesus equated these two powers. And then you can serve one and leave the other. You can serve God and Mammon at the same time. That means Mammon is a god that you can worship. Don't worship money. Worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, verily I say unto you, that the rich man shall hardly enter into what? The kingdom of heaven. Did you see that? The god of Mammon makes it difficult for us to enter into the joy of the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord, the peace of the Lord. Many blocks us. Take this last scripture and then we'll close. Exodus 10, verse number 8. Are we here together? I'm sure I'm not offending anybody this morning. Praise God. Because this can be offending. You see, the young man was offended. Amen. Why are you talking about money? Why are you preaching this way, Pastor? Why? You see what that young man did? He walked away. Me, sell my possession and give to the poor for what? Let the poor be there. I got to keep my possession. Take your eternal life. I don't need you anymore. I'm not entering any kingdom. You forgot. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. That means you enter into the kingdom, you have the joy of God, you have the peace of God, you have the righteousness of God. Exodus 10 verse number 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that should go? Pharaoh is asking the question. And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. Where will we go? For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. If you read the story down, we're going to go to verse 24. But if you read it down, Pharaoh said, okay, you can go with all of those, you must leave your young ones. You know what it mean? In fact, when the old ones get to the wilderness, they will die before they get to Canaan. He want to put the young ones in slavery. He's interested. That is why the devil is messing up our youth today. That's to say, no future of this generation. He wants to keep the young ones. And say, you can go serve your God, but let the young ones behind. Let the old ones go. Take everything you want. Let the younger ones stay behind. And Moses said, no, we're not leaving anybody behind. Because the understanding, if you leave the young ones behind, they're going to be in slavery, but the old ones, they can get to Canaan, they might die before they get to Canaan. You see the wisdom of the devil. So what is going on today? The devil is messing up our youths, taking them from us. And we're watching as parents. We have no voice to speak to the devil. We need our youth to be with us. How many people are in church and their children are there with them today? You can find it. The devil are taking hold of the young ones. And so, when the young ones perishes, when they get into slavery, calculate the next generation in this country and you're going to see the kind of people we're going to have. You're going to see the kind of leaders we're going to have. Hallelujah. Are we together here? But let's move on for what we have. Go to verse 24. But that's a powerful thing for you to consider. Your young ones should be with you. Amen. Your children should be with you. You should give them the faith, the standard of the faith. You should grow up knowing who God is. Otherwise, you are cutting up a whole generation. Verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let little ones also go with you. You know, he's not giving a condition. Okay, if you say you are going to whatever, include the children, you can go. You can go with the children now. Yes, I agree. Look at verse 25. Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings. I like this. We are not just going to go with our flock. You also need to give us provision to serve our God. Let the devil release your money. Praise God. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Moses said, hey, come on. We are not just going like that. Yes, we have herds, we have flocks, but you too must bring the provision. Give us an offering. Praise God. Don't let the devil hold your money back. Take it from him. Hallelujah. So Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifice and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord God. Verse 26. Our cattle also shall go with us. They shall not and who be left behind. Oh no, I like this. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we get there. We don't know. So we are not leaving anything behind. Praise God. Listen, any devil that wants to keep your resources, I rebuke that power today. Hallelujah. I challenge the spirit that want to reduce your provisions in the name of Jesus. Moses said, no, we're going with everything. Because we don't even know yet what we're going to serve the Lord with. So don't give us condition. Don't let the devil give you the condition on how to serve your God. When the devil begins to tell you in your heart, you don't need this, you don't do that, you can't do that, it's too much. Are you seeing God? Is God not spirit? Does God use money? Ask Jesus why he was looking at the offering. God doesn't use money. Why was he looking at the offering? Does God use money? Why did the young ruler got offended? Praise the living God. Why would Jesus say, go sell and give? God doesn't use money. You've seen all of those scriptures, but you still come out and say, does God use money? Who is talking? Pharaoh! The devil is the one giving you all of those wisdom. Does God use money? Anytime the devil tells you, does God use money? Tell him, yes, he does. Which currency? All currencies. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? Does God use money? Sure, he used money. He used money. It's what you use to serve him. He wants you to honor him with your substance. He wants to honor him with whatever. And Moses said, we can't leave nothing, not even a hoof. You know what a hoof means? The foot of the animal. I'm not leaving even the foot of the animal behind. I'm taking everything with me. Because I don't even know what God will look for us to do what? To serve him. So when you come into church, don't leave the hoof behind. Take it along with you. It's your blessing. Because you don't know what God will want you to do. Pray in your heart. Before you get to service, as touching your offering, pray in your heart. As for your tithe, you don't debate that. You already know God is interested in your finances. And you already know the benefit that comes for you ministering to the Lord in your tithes and your offering. You know. Some people will tell you, I don't know how to calculate. Why don't you know how to calculate? You know the profit you make. Hallelujah. When you sell, you know how much profit you make. In your fish, in your cloth, you know how much profit you make. You pay tight on your profit, not on your gross. You pay tight on your profit. Praise the living God. Is anybody following what I'm saying here? God needs you to serve him with your resources, not with your lips. It's enough to praise him. No. You can praise him, you can worship him, but listen, honor him. There's a place for praising, there's a place for honor. Do you honor him with your lips? No. You honor him with what? Your substance. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I gave you this story before I shut down. When we started ministry over there, I was not even taking offering. We put basket by the gates. Anything you like. Then we're looking at 1 Corinthians. We knew nothing. We zero of revelation. I didn't know that people's hearts, no. Except you let them know, their heart can never be stirred to do anything. Nobody. The heart of man is desperately wicked. How many of you have read down the Bible? Above all things, that means above the devil, the heart of man is more wicked. We put basket on the gate, hoping that when we close service, if you are leaving, you drop. You drop. Anytime we close service, basket is empty. Nobody was giving anything. Nobody. Nobody was giving anything. Basket, you go check the basket, is empty. We were placing two baskets by the gate. As you are leaving, drop offering, whatever. We just realized that man's heart is so wicked. We have to break out of that rule when God begins to speak to us. We come to the place and say, we're not paying tithe in this church. We are New Testament people. I remember I got in some literatures from the U.S. based on 1 Corinthians and all that. Oh yeah, this New Testament belief, this New Testament principle. We started on that, no tithe. Until one day, one of our members went and do evangelism over there, and then he was talking to these people about tithing, that it's nothing like that. The people say no, they belong to this ministry around forgotten his name now. They said, no, we pay tithe. We know the value. We know how much it brings to us. So we do it. Hallelujah. And it's okay. I'm going to bring my pastor to you tomorrow to teach you that there's nothing like tithe. And guess what? I even wrote a book against tithe. Oh, come on. We've been in this thing for a long while. Circulated as far as we lorry. And I remember Dr. Luther calling me and telling me, hey, no, no, this thing can't work. This thing doesn't go. I said, oh, this one. I said, no, no, no. But guess what? This guy came and told me, tomorrow, you've booked appointment with these people, Brother Tony by name. You go and talk to them about tithing. Okay, fine, come on. After all, I'm a superstar when it comes to that. So, I was lying down. At about 1 a.m., the Lord woke me up and said, I didn't ask you to go and preach against tithing. I asked you to preach against the kingdom of God. Go and preach the kingdom, not tithing. I didn't ask you to go and preach against tithing. Huh. My head was heavy. I said, God, so what am I going to do about this? So Tony came the next morning and he said, can we go now? I said, bro, I'm not sure we can go. He said, why? He said, this is what the Lord showed me in the night, that we can't do that. Hallelujah. And you know what? He gave me a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 down. In fact, it was 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 that he gave to me. Let's read that. And then I continue with my story. So they understand that God is interested in financial matters. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox. I mean, the mouth of the ox that treaded out the corn. Does God take care of oxen? Is the other one, does God care for animals and does he care for human beings? This is what the scripture he gave to me. And then I read down the whole story. I begin to see Paul lamenting that he have not been preaching money to the Corinthian church. Our other apostles came and they were preaching money and they were giving them money. When you go back home, read it. So I told the guy, man, I can't go. So now, my problem was, how do I break out from what I've already told these people? I came to church on Sunday. But there was a sister that came that time from one local assembly. He told me, Pastor, I know you don't teach this, but I'm practicing it because I know the value. In this church, I practice my tithing. You can keep your doctrine to yourself. But when it comes to this one, no, sir. I won't obey you on this. I'm obeying the scriptures. And that sister was actually practicing that. So I came to church. I sat down. I finished my message that day. And then I called my assistant pastor. You come and you have closed the service. And the man just came up. And as he stood there to take the offering, the next thing he burst into tongues. I was shouting and speaking in tongues. And the next thing he said, we must pay tithe on this house. We must pay tithe on this house. He was just shouting. I was cold and weak in my seats. I didn't know what to do. By the time he finished, he said, oh, sorry, sir. I don't know what come over me. I said, no, you just delivered me now. So I came out and narrated my experience to the house. That's where we started paying tithe. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So what am I making you understand? God is interested in your money. To serve him. You don't serve him with your lips. You serve him with what? Your resources. That is called honor. Moses said, I can't allow any animal to stay behind because I don't know what I'm going to use to do what? To serve God. You serve God with your resources. Don't let anybody deceive you. You see the issue of the rich man? I need eternal life. Do this or no. Why? Because of money. Money keeps people away. There are people who tell you, I don't need to go to church. Why should I go to church? I have my money already. No, that is not it. It's like you're talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. No matter how good you are, you still need Jesus. Is that okay? You need Jesus. You need to be saved. Because you can be very good, it's still the same tree. Or you can be very wicked, it's the same tree. No matter which aspect, as long as you don't have Jesus, you are still within the bracket of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen, somebody? Praise the living God. Come on, stand up. Let's talk to God a little bit. I just want you to talk to the Father. Your healing is guaranteed. Your provision is guaranteed. Because you are in His presence.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net.